For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, TJ, if you leave the Dallas Cowboys, you can't come back until the 2030 season.
Next
witness dictated not read.
Are you going to sign it?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I can't do it.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, Steelers writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, host of the Jim Jackson Show podcast, Jim Jackson. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Looking forward to my man, my mellow, Jimmy Jackson, coming in and talking about the NBA, talking about that mess that's going on in Philadelphia as well. Hit him on his Clippers as well, turn things around. The Warriors, surprise team out there. Getting into some NBA action. Before we get things going in hour number three, before I leave, I just wanted to let Mike Tyson know I was just playing.
Man.
I'm just joking around, Mike. You know,
wow,
it's a form of entertainment,
that
man.
Don't go viral, man.
We already tweeted your clips out.
No, jeez. Man, don't. Just in case, Mike, bro, I know.
Come on.
I'm mad respect for you, man. You know, entertainment purposes. You know, we just playing, dog. Just playing, man. Mm-hmm. Please, Mike. Please. I got a family. I got kids that love me, man.
Should have thought about all that.
Hey, man. Hey. Tom, the YouTuber. What's the boy's name? Can't think of his name right now. Why am I drawing a blank?
What's he do?
The one he just fought.
Oh, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul. If he wants to be taken seriously, though, as a boxer, he's got to fight somebody that's actually a boxer.
Yeah, right.
That's in his still, not necessarily, he ain't got to be in his prime, but he's got to be still active and maybe ranked if he wants to be taken seriously as a boxer, which he says he wants to be taken seriously,
Mike,
as a boxer.
Do you care, Chris? Do you care? Jason, do you care? If you're getting the amount of money that this guy is generating, he's kind of created his own little niche. I don't know that he cares to be thought of as a robot.
But here's the thing, TJ. Now, he's a great businessman.
Question.
Like, because he's getting paid. Like, he's offering people tens of millions of dollars. If he's got that much money to give out, what's he bringing in?
So, I get it. Like, he's a brilliant businessman. But he's also saying he wants to be considered a legitimate boxer. You can't, you're a showman. It's like you do the WWE, right? Mm-hmm. You know it's a showman. You know it's not fake, but it's scripted, right? Yeah. You already know the outcome, pretty much. With Jake Paul, you kind of know, okay, I can pick and choose, matchmaker and all that. It's a circus, more so than a legitimate boxing
match. Well, the only actual boxer he's fought beat him soundly.
Fury,
so
yeah.
I don't think that's what he's really interested in. And then he goes out there and he's calling out Canelo Alvarez. Like, what are you trying to do, bro?
Yeah.
That's a death wish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. But don't pretend that you are. Just be what you are. You know, people love to hate you, pretty much.
But he's kind of the biggest thing in boxing right now.
And that's a shame.
Sadly.
That's a shame. As a guy who loves the sport of boxing, boxing used to be an event. Boxing used to be an attraction. Now boxing is a circus. When the biggest event in boxing is a YouTuber fighting a 58-year-old former champion who's 60 years old, when that's the biggest boxing event of the year, that lets you know the state of boxing. That lets you know why UFC is taking over when it comes to combat sports. Because there is no draw. There's no Muhammad Ali. There's no Mike Tyson in his prime. There's no Floyd Mayweather. You know, you got guys like Tank that's
out there.
There's
Canelo and Tank.
Tank, Canelo, but they're not household names. You got Haney. You got my man Bud Crawford. You got guys who are great boxers, but you don't have that household name that crosses over, the Sugar Ray Leonards of the world.
Canelo's not a crossover?
No, he's not a crossover. Really? Canelo could walk down the street in L.A. and
I don't believe that.
90% of the people would not know who he is. I guarantee you
here
that.
In Los Angeles? No.
Well, no. Among the Mexican community, they would know him, obviously. I'm saying there's a lot of boxing fans out there. If you're a boxing fan, you love the state of boxing. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, but boxing used to be an event. The fight. It wasn't just a boxing match. It was, you're going to get the fight. If somebody says you're going to get the fight, you knew exactly what you were talking about because you had stars in the sport of boxing that crossed over that people wanted to go. You had your house parties. You had your people over.
Oh yeah.
To watch the pay-per-view.
Yep.
To watch the undercard. It was a party. It was an event. You don't do that now. We did that for Mike Tyson and Jake Paul on Netflix.
People do it for UFC now.
They do it for UFC now. Yeah. But when Jon Jones fights, when Conor McGregor fights, you still but see they got names still that crosses over into households that people who are non-sports or non-boxing or non-combat sports fans recognize, or people are talking about so much that they're like, I got to see this guy. They don't have that right now. The best fight that night, the other night, was the women's match. You know,
yeah,
it exposed us to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was robbed. I told you that night, two people were robbed. You know, the lady who, I can't think of her name right now, she lost the match. She was robbed.
Serrano.
And I was robbed of my time. I was robbed of my time, you know, even though it was free. That's it.
Yeah, and we have Fury Usyk, too, coming up in a month.
But once again, nobody knows that. You know, like, I would think the closest fighter used to be the Bronze Bomber, where you would see the Bronze Bomber, and, you know, he's been losing lately, and he probably needs to retire. He's not the best boxer in the world, Deontay Wilder. Mm-hmm. You know, he had.
I'd like to watch him fight Jake Paul, to be honest.
That would be pretty good.
No, it wouldn't.
That would be, huh? Why not? I want to see it. I mean, why not?
I want to see Jake Paul get his, to be honest.
Yes, okay, then you would enjoy it.
I want to see Wilder knock his ass out.
Can I tell you that's the reason why a lot of people watch Floyd fights?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah. You watch Floyd's fights to see, because half of them disliked them. They wanted to see. That's why a lot of people back in the day, as much as Muhammad Ali is revered today, people have revisionist history. Because when Ali was in his prime, half the people hated Ali. Half of the people hated Ali because of a lot of things he stood for. Changed his name, didn't fight in the Olympics. They called him a draft dodger, all that type of stuff like that. He was a black man who believed in himself and all that type of stuff like that. We was in that time, still in that time now, but I'm saying it's different. So they hated him. So it was almost like you got to be a heel, but also polarizing in a sense. Mm-hmm. You get somebody that's polarizing, somebody that, you know, half the audience wants to see you get beat. And that's why Jake Paul's good, because Jake Paul is not liked. Jake Paul's got a lot of followers and a lot of people that like him.
He's not liked by people of our age.
He's not liked by people of our age.
Yeah.
He's not. But he's a brilliant businessman, and I respect what he's built. I respect what he's built. But once again, if you're saying you want to be a legitimate boxer, fight somebody legit.
Yeah, fight legit boxers.
Fight legit boxers. But if you want to just make money, go ahead and make money. I'll watch. I mean, if it's something, you know, like I said, if he fights Deontay Wilder, well, I'll watch. I'll sit there and watch Netflix freeze again. You know, that'll work.
Buffering.
Another polarizing figure, LeBron James. Very polarizing figure. You either love LeBron James, you dislike LeBron James, but I respect and I like LeBron James. I know what he's built. I have nothing against LeBron James. You know, he's never done anything wrong to me. I like what he and his crew and Maverick and all those guys do off the basketball court, what he stands for. LeBron James just came out and said he's taking a break from social media. Kevin Durant's agent came out and was talking about, you know, what social media stands for these days, and LeBron basically co-signed and said, I'm out. And I think this is a good move for LeBron. One, because a lot of the things that LeBron's reading right now is negative, even though his team's off to a really good start. Team should be talked about 10-4 in the season. They won, I believe, 6 in a row. They're undefeated at home. Rookie head coach. He's 40, about to be 40 years old, 22nd season in the league. Still one of the top 10 players out there. And everything that he's possibly reading is about something negative. And a lot of it has to do with his kid. So sometimes you got to shut the madness off. Shut the madness off. If you were to go on somewhere or a site and 70% of what you read about yourself was negative, would you continue to read it? Would you continue to watch? Would you continue to subscribe to that? I'm asking, would you? No. So why should he? And he's active on social media. I get that. And for all the athletes out there back in the day, remember athletes used to always say, well, I don't see it. I don't read the paper. Come on, man. But you know what's being said about you? Same thing with LeBron. He's seeing the ads. He's seeing how people are coming at him and coming after Bronny or whatever. And let me tell you something. You know when LeBron actually started winning championships? You know when LeBron James became the player to take that next step? You remember that year after they lost the championship to the Mavericks and when he was in Miami, his second year in Miami, the year he won the championship? What did he do? What did he start doing during the playoffs? Shut down social media.
Yeah, he would what do you call it? Zero Dark 30 or whatever you call it?
He shut down social media. And he got locked in, and he got focused. It worked for him. It worked for him. Man, I was on a reality show. So I got – it's one thing to get criticism or being talked about from a sports perspective. You know, I get it on here now. Somebody came after me, and I'll give the guy some love, came after me because I said that Peyton Manning was a shell of himself with the Denver Broncos, right? I meant after his neck injury.
At the end, he was.
I mean, I know he had a great season with the Broncos and led them to the Super Bowl and they lost to Seattle. I get that. You know, he still had a great career. I was talking about the last season when he won the Super Bowl, he was a shell of himself. Right. And they come and sometimes they misinterpret or whatever. I can take that. I can take criticism when I'm wrong with a take. I can. I can admit when I'm wrong. I don't like it when somebody comes at me sideways and you don't know me. I try not to let it bother me, but when you see it, obviously as a human, you're going to react to it a certain kind of way. You might not respond to them, but it's going to make you react a certain kind of way. It's going to infuriate you. Mm. You can look at 100 posts on here, and 95 of them can be great. Oh, we love you. You do a great job filling in on Rich, blah, blah, blah. You know, Fox, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And women coming after you, you're handsome and all that type of stuff like that. You're going to see 5 posts on there. And 5 of them going to criticize you. 2 of them going to come at you sideways and call you out of your name. And there are so many times on this social media, on X, on Instagram, whatever I'm on, somebody just out of nowhere because of my opinion about something that is just like not even important. And they'll come out of here, you idiot, and cursing me and like you this and you. Things that they would never say to you publicly. Things that they would never say to you in your face, but they got so much courage on this site that they feel like they can be faceless, they can be nameless, and they can say whatever they want to, whenever they want to at you. And as human as we, as strong as we people think we are, or robots, or whatever, like LeBron is, and athletes are, whatever, you're still human at the end of the day. So sometimes you just got to shut it off. And once again, I always said that social media is the greatest invention ever made. It's also the worst invention ever made. Greatest invention ever made because obviously there are so many things that are being done and taken care of because there's an awareness out there that wasn't out there before that's drawing people together. And you see you're like-minded and things are getting done and you're rallying and you're making change and progress in the country and things are getting better when it comes to equality. But it's also the worst. Because of all the hate that you see out there.
Well, we're also, you know, all of us in this room, we're part of the generation and an age where we remember the time before it all.
Yeah.
And what it was like before, you know, we were all, connected to one another, you know, with our phones and our computers. We remember what it was like.
Yeah. I mean,
bad back then as well. I mean, there were bad times,
right?
But it was all face to face.
It was face to face. When I was at a local market before this, the internet, before you know, social media. I was at ESPN back then. Somebody had to send me a letter. Sometimes you send a letter,
or an email,
or whatever, or something like that, or a phone call. Yeah. At least I heard a voice. at least I heard a voice. But once again, man, I say this, and I'm knocking on wood because I'm not asking for it to happen. I'm not asking for trouble, or whatever. But I'll take care of it. If I need to, you know, unless it's Mike Tyson. unless it's Mike Tyson. In all my years of doing this, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I've had threats against me, threats against my family. I remember when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, And Peyton did not win the Heisman Trophy that year. And Charles Woodson won the Heisman Trophy in 1997.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I worked for an ABC affiliate, which was affiliated with Disney, obviously, ABC and Disney. And because ESPN was on this campaign, apparently, to get Charles Woodson the Heisman Trophy, they blamed anything associated with ABC, including me. And I had nothing to do with ESPN at the time. Nothing to do with it. But because fans don't know everything about television, they'll just link, oh, he's part of Disney, you're part of the problem. Yeah. And you're covering Tennessee. I was in Nashville at the time. So the Vols were like our home, you know, that was our home college football team, them and Vandy. And because he lost, that night I got 200 phone calls. I got so many death threats that night.
Jeez.
I got people, I had to go look under my car when I went outside. I had to go with security to go look under my car. That's how bad it was, man. That was back then. That was in 97. Now it's worse. Let me do a take on somebody that, you know, a fan base, that's Lakers fan base. I could say 99 great things about the Lakers. I say one negative thing about the Lakers. They're coming. They're coming. And I get it. You defend your team.
Sure.
But keep it respectable. Keep it civil. Hey, man, hey, I disagree with your take, man, blah, blah, blah. But when you come in, you try and make it personal. Because I don't make things personal. I don't go after somebody and make it personal. But when you make it personal, you come after me like that? What am I supposed to do?
Okay, so that's you, Mike Hill. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to you on a very minor scale.
But
imagine you're LeBron James.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like, so it's, so we get, look, we talk, what you just said, we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. These guys always say to me, why do you read the comments? How do you not, how can you truly not look at a comment?
It's in your face.
But knowing that it's like that small of a percentage. Now, you talk about it, someone like LeBron, who your every move is under scrutiny. Like, yeah, after a while, if you're not reading it, guess what? Your wife's looking at it.
Yep.
When your kids are looking at it.
Looking at
your best, your boys are looking at it going, yo, you see what they're saying? So, yeah.
TJ, that's my point. I'm on this level. LeBron is on a level 100 times more than me. And as much love as he gets just as much hate.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, after a while, people say, man, just ignore it. Don't pay attention to it. Block it out or whatever. Man, you're still human. You are still human. And for what? Because the man wanted to play basketball with his son? That's his family. Hey, if he had that much power to be able to have a franchise draft his son, then so be it. The fact that we just talked about that, the power source. We talked about Aaron Rodgers with Woody Johnson. That's why I don't believe he got Robert Saleh fired. Because Woody Johnson didn't think he was a good enough quarterback to even start week five.
Yeah, that article has me kind of rethinking my thoughts about that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if Woody Johnson didn't want him to start week five, how did he have enough power to weeks later go and say, hey, I need you to get rid of Saleh? No, he doesn't. LeBron James should be applauded. The fact that we've never, despite if you think he's better than Jordan or Kobe or whatever, whatnot, wherever you have him on the list, he should be applauded because we haven't seen anything like this ever in NBA history. Where a man, 22 years in the league, with all the mouths going to 10 NBA finals, still playing at a top 10 level. I mean, we saw Kareem playing to his 40s. We saw other players playing to their 40s. We saw Vince Carter playing to his 40s and played 20-some years in the league. But you ain't never seen somebody play this consistently, this great, for 20 straight seasons, 22 straight seasons. Nobody. All-time leading scorer. He's a pass-first player. All-time leading scorer. So you got to give him the respect and love he deserves, man. And he's still got that power. And deserves it, man. So, yeah, I don't blame him, man. Shut it off. Shut it off. I tell my family shut it off, too. I feel worse for Bronny because Bronny didn't ask for any of this. So imagine what he gets. I see some of the comments Bronny gets. Come on, man. And your kid can't even play. And your sorry can't even play. As a grown person, you worried about a 20-year-old kid. Come on, man. Stop. Jim Jackson has a son. We're going to talk to him about the NBA and see what's going on with his life and stuff that's going on. My man, Jim Jackson, good friend of mine, coming up right next here on the Rich Eisen Show.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
You're 6'7", correct? Is that what
correct.
You are? Okay. And you're from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Born and raised.
So did you ever try football? Did anybody ever say throw you out there on the field and as a tight end or something like that? Or rush the passer?
Yes, being from Tuscaloosa, you know, it was, you know, we see football day in and day out. So as a child, you want to do what you see. And that was my goal and plans, you know, until I was in college and I had a daughter that was on the way that was born with spina bifida. So, you know, it's just like to say, like, for me, it's like sometimes when you have plans, but God have other plans for you. And those plans that I had set for myself, he's seen it in another light, a different way. And I found one of my purpose. You know, at that point in time in my life coming up, having a child that was born with a disorder, you know, it was very tough. It was difficult being that you're young yourself and then you only pray for a healthy child. And then when you don't get that, You gotta set responsibilities and do what you gotta do as a human being in general and as a father, you know. And I love being a father. You know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in boxing. I wouldn't, you know, I'll probably be, you know, in football or basketball or something like that. But having her, she changed my world completely. And she, I'm forever grateful for her because I wouldn't be in this position. I probably wouldn't even be here. Who knows where I'd be, you know, without my children, man. They're blessings. Many people say when you have kids and not playing that, you know, there's a mistake, but no child is a mistake, you know. And I just love it. Being a father is number one for me, you know. Even my two-year-olds understand boxing. All my kids will be at the fight.
Yeah.
And my two-year-olds say, I want to go see Daddy Boom Boom.
All right, back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. In-house, my man, my mellow.
It's been a minute, man.
It's been too long. I just text you the other day.
I know. You're just talking about
it. Yeah, I was just like,
Studio Fox.
See, I'm like, bruh, Jim Jackson in the house. Y'all know who he is, of course, on the Jim Jackson podcast. Of course, right here on this network.
Family.
We just text him like, are you going to be in studio? And that's when they told me that you weren't coming in the studio. You're just going to do all the games.
Just the games, yeah. It gives me an opportunity, though. I've been doing, we go back 2013,
yeah.
Like when you were doing America's Game Day, right?
America's pregame, yep.
Yeah, pregame. And then when Fox got the contract for the Big East, started doing studio back then. I was doing studio before for the Big Ten Network, which Fox owns 51%. But then once I started really getting into the NBA stuff, especially with the Clippers here, the games are just so much more vibrant. And I love being in the studio, but I love being in the action. So it allows me some more days to be able to do more LA Clipper games,
man. That's good, man. I miss you in the studio, though, man.
We always have a good time, man. It's good. I miss it, man. But it was, like I said, 18 years, man.
I wish that I was still with the Clippers now, because I'd be on the road with you, and that would be a lot of fun.
Why is that? You don't smoke cigars, so.
Two of America's most wanted.
That would be good for either of your careers.
Me and Jimmy Jack on the road. I take the cast off. So you know what I mean?
Some good road trip, buddy.
Hey, man. I know you love cigars. I know you love golf. And I know you love basketball.
Yeah.
If I told you you had to give up one of the three, which one would you give up?
If I had to give up one of the three, it'd be golf.
You'd give up golf?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, now from basketball, from what perspective? Like covering it? Oh, no. Yeah, golf. Golf. Golf is, I mean, I love it. I used to caddy when I was growing up. My father, because I had a job all the way through high school and always through college, too. My father made me work. So, Inverness Country Club in Toledo, Ohio was like 20-minute bike ride from me right down Door Street. So, I had a job. I worked as a caddy. My uncle, who was deputy chief of police at the time, they had a crew, black men, who played golf. He was like a 7 handicap. They used to try to get me to play when I was young. I was like, man, ain't nobody playing this sissy sport, you know, and this, ain't nobody hitting the golf ball, because I didn't see black people playing.
Right.
Especially when I caddy. It just wasn't like that. But now that I look back at it, I was like, man, I wish I would have took up the sport when I was younger, but it was football and basketball, so I didn't know. But basketball, I love covering. I love being in the midst of it. The best part, the beneficial part, man, being in it 18 years, Mike, is that I've seen a lot of the men playing today in college.
Right.
I got a chance to cover them. Like Draymond Green, when he first came to Michigan State, I had a chance to watch him grow, not only in college, but now that he's year 15, 16 in the league. LeBron, when he was in high school. All this stuff. So that part of it, it gives you that duality of watching them trying to understand where they are and growing into a young man in college to now 15, 16 years later, full-blown NBA career.
And at the tail end of the NBA career, still valuable.
Still valuable.
Doing things off the court as well. Yep. LeBron had a podcast. Mm-hmm. LeBron is big in media. Draymond's got a really good podcast himself, doing great things too as well, man. So it makes us feel a little bit older.
When I see the guys and we're doing Clipper games, or when I was doing some TNT stuff, and I hear like Eric Gordon. I covered him when he was at Indiana, right? And I hear dudes calling him OG, Jeff Green.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you OG, man. I'm triple OG, Dick, because I was covering you when you were in college. But to see them still kind of the roles, you know how it is, Mike. The roles went from young brash trying to prove myself to who I want to be in the league, to established player, to now that veteran voice of reason in the locker room, to watch that whole transition, because I've been through it.
Right.
But to watch it unfold by people that I've covered is special. And that's why I love it. That's why I love being at the games, because those interactions you don't get by sitting in the studio.
Always having those good relationships. Imagine how I feel. Chase Daniels, I covered him in high school. He now works at Fox.
Yeah.
His playing career is over, now works at Fox. I saw him in the hallway. I covered you in high school.
Yeah.
I'm like,
see, it's crazy, bro.
He's a grown-ass man.
Grown man.
I am, man.
But that's good for us. That means longevity.
Longevity.
That we're still here.
We're still getting it done, man. And now you, how's Xavi doing, man?
Xavi's good, man. Yeah,
he's
good, bro. Yeah. He and everything. He, basketball, jiu-jitsu, piano, done with swim. Want to get him in some more. So, he had a little chess lesson for the first time.
Oh, wow. 6 years old?
6 years old. But it was good, because it's like a bookstore in Culver City, but they had a session where they would teach kids how to play chess. So a good friend of mine, Terrence Duckett, and his son were going, and we tagged along. It was great, bro.
That's awesome, man. We've seen some high-profile dads, obviously, and their sons interacting. We're talking about Prime, Shedeur Sanders, LeBron, and Bronny. What's the balance or the line for you between being a dad and making sure eventually they live their own life? You got a grown son.
I got a grown son, 31, so I've been there.
Yep.
It was always one for me being a father because my father, I'm 54. So my father, old school, bus driver, he was raised, his father had not a speakeasy, like a pool hall where they ran numbers out of it.
Okay.
So my aunts and uncles, they all grew up in that environment.
You snitching right there.
Yeah, I'm snitching. There ain't nothing they can do, reciprocity is already over, so he good. He good. But statute of limitation.
Yeah.
But my grandmother back in the day, she had, soul food spot back in the neighborhood. But my father was, and I got to know this, man. This is what's interesting about the history of a family. My father was one that didn't say a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't remember him really saying, I loved you, but he showed it in different ways.
Wow.
And he was quiet. But when he spoke, he spoke. When I was younger, I didn't understand it. Like, why it was always, you just got to do something and ain't no in between. It wasn't an explanation. It wasn't the, he fathered in the way that he was fathered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then as I got older, I got a chance to understand why he did that, because he didn't know. That's how he got raised.
Mm-hmm.
So his parenting allowed me to understand how I needed to raise my older son with more communication, showing affection, showing love, things like that, but allowing my older son to communicate what he was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many times as parents, especially when we're older, and I was younger at the time, but we're older, we think we know everything.
Right.
And we tend to shut our kids down when they're talking, thinking they don't know, or you don't know, but sometimes they do.
They do.
And we can learn. So as I father now, my tendency is to listen a lot more than talk, unless it's something I gotta really lay down the law on. I try to really allow my son to express his feelings and talk about whatever it is so he feels comfortable, that he can always come to me without any hesitation, without thinking that he's gonna be judged. That he, whenever he has a problem, and I know it won't be all the time because kids, they go tend to seek somewhere else. But that's how I've learned over the years to become a better father by becoming a better listener and understanding. You know how it is, man. You got two girls, bro.
I had two girls.
Man, yeah, I couldn't even.
Taught me a lot.
What?
They taught me a lot, man. They taught me how to be a man. I tell people all the time, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't become a man until like 7 years ago.
Right.
I thought I was being a man.
How old were they then?
They were at the time like 16, and one that was like 12, 13.
Starting to date and stuff like that, and boys.
And that's when I started seeing it. When I started seeing a lot of things you need to talk about. My past, and I've been open about that or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing how being raised by their moms. And then me being a part of their lives, I'm seeing who they started liking.
Yeah.
And I started looking at them. I'm like, how can I be mad at that little boy for doing the same thing? And so I'm like, I had to change because I don't want to see my girls go through anything like that, man. Mm-hmm. So it made a big difference in my life. So kudos to you, man, for doing that, man.
I love it, bro.
But it's good that Xavier can like call a team meeting. Hey, Dad, we need to talk. These ain't working out right now.
Right. Now, it's a fine line between that, too. I'm like, partner, it's consequences to what you want to do now. Keep that in mind now.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to give you the freedom to make some decisions and do not. He's 6 years old. I'm speaking in the future.
Right.
I said, but when you make a decision, it's consequence. I told my older son, I said, listen, you know the difference between right or wrong, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So when you choose to make your decision, think about would my father approve of it. Now, if in your mind, this situation is so critical that you're like, man, forget what my father's talking about. Okay, you go make it.
All right.
Now, you got to deal with whatever comes with it. Don't be mad at me when it goes south.
All right.
You chose to make it.
Yep. Your choices have consequences.
Oh, consequences.
Your
good
life
or bad.
Is a series of choices, but your choices have consequences.
That's right.
That's why people always say, I got a freedom to speak and say what I want to. But yeah, you can say what you want to, but what you say or what you write, what you put down on social media may have consequences of all. I was talking about the team meeting because I wanted to get into the Sixers.
Oh, yeah, man.
And the mess. I mean, this team 2-10 on the season, 2-12 on the season. And they got all kind of turmoils. I know injuries have been a big part of it with Paul George and Maxi being out, of course, and B coming back from the knee injury from the Olympics and everything that's going on there. What do you see as the biggest issue? And should they break this team up? Should they start the process
I think first you got to be careful because what's let out there in the media, and I've been through this before, doesn't mean it's necessarily all the way true. But there may be a thin line of truth in what's going on. Now, what and how the meeting went down and what Maxi said and how he said it, that is somebody's hearsay. That's what they said happened. Is it a fact that he had more of a conversation and said this and Embiid may have understood and now everybody's blowing it up? Just because I've been in a locker room and I've been in situations where people will report on something that happened, it did happen, but it didn't happen to the extent of what it was. So I'm always careful of that because I'm not there. But what I can say is it's been things that led up to maybe the conversation that are true. Embiid, and I'm going to talk about this on my podcast a little bit later, the leadership aspect is not for everybody. Just because you're the best player doesn't mean you're the best leader. Okay? And that is probably something that probably been permeating for a little while. Within the organization on that roster, and maybe at that point, Maxi was like, look, I had enough. It's something I got to say about this, about being on time and tardy. That may have some truth to it.
But what's that say about Embiid? I understand sometimes leadership roles aren't for everybody. Just because you're a star player doesn't mean you're a leader. But the fact that you've been there that long, that you haven't won a championship there, you haven't lived up quite to expectations, even though you've won an MVP and you're showing up late and somebody's calling you out, a new star to your team is basically calling you out. What's that say about the player?
That, and again, I'm not in the locker room every day, but just based on the track record of Philly, they've allowed Embiid to kind of run the ship since he got there. Okay, they've given him And not to say that listen, first and foremost, from everything that I gather and people I talked to when Sam Cassell was there and everybody, he's a great young man.
Right.
Okay, so let's put that on the table. But with that, too, was a level of immaturity that when he came into the league, he had. Okay? And by giving him everything at a young age, I think now as a young maybe not as mature young man, you take that for granted and you do things because you're able to get away with things that other players can't. And that happens. I don't care in sports. What is baseball, football, basketball? If you're a child prodigy in mathematics, whatever, you're always going to get special treatment.
Right.
So stop all with the everybody deserves to be treated the same. Stop it.
Right.
I don't care what area of life. It's going to be somebody that because of their talent or their skill set is going to get something special. And I think a lot of that is embedded in Embiid because of the early process in which he was able to get away with stuff. And part of the maturity in the league is understanding that I can't be that same guy or get away with the same stuff. If I really truly want to be the voice and people to follow me, I got to lead more by example than by my word.
Yeah, but if you give that power to somebody who's not mature, like you said, then it creates a monster. And if you do create that monster better win. I mean, like you said, star players always get star treatment. LeBron gets star treatment, no matter who. Michael Jordan got star treatment. But once again, you got to come.
But
you got to win.
They won to the fact that, and Mike, even though he got the star treatment and Kobe got the star treatment, they're examples on how to be a pro. Not that they got everything right, because they got their own mistakes too in times. But that's the beauty of that is that you can't get it all right, okay? And that you have self-accountability when things go south. You're not blaming this. When Mike missed a shot or did something wrong, it was on him. When Kobe didn't do something right, he put it on himself. Embiid at times will push the blame over here. Like, to be honest, as an athlete, and this is where I give Nikola Jokic the credit, what's the difference between the two? Embiid may be a little bit more skilled in what he can do, but Jokic, from a leadership perspective, understood that in order for me to be the best and my team to be the best, I got to lose weight. And not only lose weight, come into better shape, but keep it off.
All right.
So since COVID, look at what he's done. Three MVPs, he's had a championship, you know, finals MVP, all that kind of stuff. Because he dedicated himself to say, as a leader of this team, I can't talk about it, I got to be about it. Embiid hasn't done that. reason why the injuries keep, I think, building up, he's never been, in my opinion, as a basketball player, he's never taken his offseason serious enough to cut down the weight and take that pressure off his lower limb. That's why he has a lot of lower extremity injuries. Mm-hmm. Top heavy, being able to carry that weight, is going to eventually add pressure on those knees, ankles, back, hips, everything, and you're going to have injuries.
Can you stick around for one more second?
I got you, bro.
Come on, man. I want to talk about basketball. I know you got to do a podcast.
You're going nowhere. I'm sitting right over there.
Anyway. Walk 10 steps to go to your set. So I didn't know if you had to go to makeup and get touched up.
Natural. Okay, you know, the lighting.
We're going to talk more basketball and life. My man, Jim Jackson, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with no contest wrestling, with guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, the concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It was just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one?
That's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. Sure. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams and the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... Then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue
for me
that turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen Show.
I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this, and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for
$23,000. You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you don't earn it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from a local trophy shop.
Sure.
He'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
So that's why, you know how like in the NBA when you win the Eastern Conference or Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it.
Never.
I never touched it and I never celebrated it.
I remember Phil did that too, right? Yeah. Didn't you, like when you guys won the Western Conference Finals of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated. This is beautiful though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah. I love the TV clips they show.
Oh, man, it's great, man. Shaq is the best. We go back to high school, bro.
You and Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, we came out. Yeah. We came out in 89 together. It's funny, interesting, that 89 class, Kenny Anderson was the best player in the class, and I was number two in the nation.
Mm.
But Shaq was in that class, but you didn't hear about him because in Texas at that time, you couldn't participate in camps outside of the state.
Really?
So you heard of Shaquille, but you never saw him. Mm-hmm. So the first time we got a chance to see him was in Dapper Dan. It was a old high school all-star game in Pittsburgh. And that's when we saw him. Then we saw him in the McDonald's game, and it was over after that. Lights out, man.
People Lights forget out. How great that LSU squad was with Chris Jackson and Stanley Roberts.
Man.
Stanley Roberts was the beast on that team.
It's funny because Stanley was a little bit more skilled than Shaq at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like move post, move jump hook. Shaq was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley was still a big dude, right. But at that time it was Chris, man. Chris Jackson was unbelievable.
Yeah, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf for the people out there that don't know.
So here's the 89 Parade All-American First Team. Remember Parade back in the day?
Parade.
So the Parade All-American First Team for high school that year: Kenny Anderson, a guy named Aaron Bain
went to Villanova.
Yep. Doug Edwards, Blue Edwards,
Miami.
Yep. Darren Hancock.
So Darren was from Georgia. He was a year younger than us. He was a junior.
Mm.
Allen Houston.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bobby Hurley.
Yep.
Jim.
Yep.
Ed O'Bannon.
Younger.
Yep. Shaq. Yep. And Deion Thomas.
Deion Thomas, Illinois, from outside Chicago.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, bro.
Nice little squad right there, man. Nice little squad. Jim Jackson, of course, you know who he is, the host of the Jim Jackson podcast, just all over the place, TNT, doing his thing. It's great. Shaq, and those guys, it's good to see inside the NBA stand on air, too. I love that.
Well, so what happens to – so here's the thing. What happens to NBA Countdown? Because –
I think they're still doing some games, but not all the games.
Okay,
think,
yeah. So, but also what happened, the best part of, like, inside the NBA with earning them is post-game.
Yeah.
So, but usually after an ESPN game, it goes right to
SportsCenter.
SportsCenter, or it goes to SVP.
Mm-hmm.
And their meat of their is either at halftime real quick, but really after the game when they're breaking down different games. So how does that, that's what I'm interested to
and
see. How does that
like
work?
And 40 minutes. Yeah.
How does that work post-game?
Well, ESPN is paying them. Well, I don't know how it works, but they got to allow them to breathe.
You
got to
have the post-game,
let them
bro.
Breathe, man, because that's when they get in the best of the jokes.
And maybe on those nights you don't go to SVP or SportsCenter until a little later.
I'd stay with – I mean, but
on those nights, if ESPN has the games on Wednesdays and Sundays or they have the ABC special during the weekend, that's just – you know, a couple of days out the week you don't have. I don't
think about this, Jim. People tune in to watch the post game show.
Oh, big time, bro.
Sometimes they don't even watch the game.
Nah, man.
They tune in to watch the post game show, man. Once again, bro, you do an excellent job. Anything you do, man. Let's talk more basketball, though. Cavaliers, surprise team of the year. I know their 15 game winning streak to start the season got snapped by the Boston Celtics the other night, but they just won again last night. 16-1 on the season. Mm-hmm. Are they legit contenders to you?
They are, because they've been together. I think what's happened this year, and you know, I was talking about this the other day about JB Bickerstaff and the job he did there. Mm. Is it similar to what Mark Jackson did in Golden State? Not that Cleveland is going to be, you know, win four championships and six titles, but he was there to help construct what we see today.
Right.
And then on top, here comes Steve Kerr with a different mindset, a different philosophy, a different way to play. The team matured another year, then boom. So now you got Kenny Atkinson,
right,
who was at Golden State, who was with us at the Clippers. He comes in with a different mindset on how to utilize the tools in the toolbox a little differently, not playing two bigs at the same time. Now they're taking off, but they matured another year.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell got his contract, so that thing is out the way. Darius Garland is playing free of mind. So now Evan Mobley is at a different role. Yep. So you see this big explosion. So it's like you take, and JB's doing a great job in Detroit right now that squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a combination of a lot of things of why Cleveland is where they're at. Yes, they are a contender. I don't think they have the wing depth to defend Boston in a 7-game series, though.
Right, right.
Okay, the team that I think matches up better with Boston, ironically, is the Knicks. Because they can defend on the wing, because that's where Boston gets you.
Mm-hmm.
They beat you. But Cleveland is interesting. You know, I'm from Ohio, so I'd love to see what they're doing. But because Philly's issues, because of Milwaukee's issues, it opened the door for a team like Cleveland. And their schedule at the beginning of the year, people will talk about it as a little soft. But so what? You got to play and beat the people. When you win championships, Mike, you know this.
Mm.
You beat the people you're supposed to beat.
Right.
Take care of your business.
They do.
And you sneak those games sometimes that may be a little tougher, and you win those.
Right. And they still get defended, and they still can score lights out.
Yeah.
They're shooting threes, shooting a lot of threes, making
but
threes.
They're really balanced, man. The bench is playing well.
And they got 10 players averaging 20 minutes a game. Uh-huh. Like, Warriors doing the same thing. A lot of people are talking about the Warriors. Warriors don't have a player, even including Steph Curry, mm-hmm. that's averaging more than 30 minutes a game. I mean, they play a lot of people.
Yeah.
They run, at the end of the year, because Cavaliers are a surprise so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lakers are a surprise. Yeah. Golden State's a surprise. But at the end of the year, which one of those three you think will be the biggest surprise when it's all said and done?
If Golden State stays where they're at
okay.
in the Western Conference. Just because, the Western Conference is so deep. You have 5 or 6, 8 teams that were over 500, okay? Mm-hmm. Or right about 500. In the East, you have 2 teams, okay?
Yep.
So for them to be able to leapfrog the Denvers, the Minnesotas, the Phoenixes, okay? To be the Lakers, to be where they're at, says a lot.
Best record in the West.
You know, now, again, it's an early mm-hmm. and it's a small snippet of where we're going to be because you got injuries, trades, everything else in the rest of the season. But it gives you a little intro. We just played them. Clippers, we beat them twice. We beat them up there at Chase Center and the other night. But the thing that's more surprising, yes, they're playing 10 to 12 guys, and that may skew back as the year goes on.
Something went wrong.
You see why I can't go on the road with Mike? You see what I'm saying right there? Something went wrong.
Blow up your spot.
Sir, shut up,
Siri. Hey, man, Siri. See, that's why I ain't going to say
nothing.
Don't say nothing, Siri.
Shut up.
But look, here's what I think. They lay the groundwork defensively. They're not big. Trayce Jackson-Davis is 6'9".
Right.
But defensively is where they've really taken that next step and why they're so competitive. Steph is shooting the ball, and you know, I think DeAnthony Melton is helping a lot. Pajinski is helping a lot. Kuminga coming off the bench has a different role, you know, from that perspective. But their defense is kind of like OKC, kind of like we played Golden State with their defense the other night. It's Orlando. When you lay your hat on that, you can offset when you're having bad shooting nights.
Yeah, and that's a part of the Warriors when they had that dynasty that did not get enough love.
But the defense?
The defense. I mean, people talked about, obviously, Steph and Clay and the shooting that they had or whatever, man, but they had Steph wasn't the greatest defender, never been a great defender, good team defender, but their defense helped them win a lot of their championships.
You know what? And also, too, at that time, they were a high turnover team, okay? But they got away with it because of that defense. But what beat you with Golden State is layups because you were so busy spread out defending the three-point line. Golden State got a lot of layups.
Right.
Okay, now and Steph and Clay were really good in the mid-range, too. So we got enamored with this, and it's kind of very similar. They still keep you spread out, and they get layups. But defensively, they create opportunities with deflections, and now they get steals, and they get out and run.
Okay. All right, man, we got about 2 minutes to go before we shut things down, but I got to talk about the Jim Jackson. Congratulations on that, man. I've always told you. I said, you need to get even beyond basketball because you're just brilliant at what you do, man. How's the podcast going so far?
It's going good, man. It's going to continue to expand, and I want to love to get you on because sports is just a small snippet of kind of what I want to talk about. You know, we talk about this all the time, life, whether it's travel, whether it's sports, whether it's family, whether it's economics, whether it's history, whatever it may be. It's just so many things that are dynamic enough to talk about that kind of revolve around sports too.
Right.
That I want to be able to touch on. You know, I wanted to look at this back in 2016-17, and my agency at the time kind of dropped the ball on, like when we were talking about on really doing it before it kind of blew up. And when I got into the space, I'm like, man, it's a lot of podcasts. I don't know. And Rich was like, Jimmy, I think you have a really good opportunity to do something. So I'm expanding. I'm growing. I love it. Gives me a platform. I got a great guest. D Nice is going to be on.
D Nice. Okay.
Yeah. This week's show. All right. We go back to the 90s. So we got a lot of stories.
I see that, man. I'm looking forward to that, man. Check out the Jim Jackson podcast. Whatever podcasts are sold, man.
Jim Jackson Show.
The Jim Jackson
YouTube,
Show.
YouTube, you know, Apple, Spotify.
Looking forward to it, man. Appreciate you coming, man. Always good to see you, my brother.
Always.
Jim Jackson, everybody. Make sure you check out the Jim Jackson Show. And this podcast everywhere where podcasts are found.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.